Well, good morning. I'll write a word on the board this morning. I'd like to talk about appetite today. You know, there's a couple times in life that we are concerned about appetite specifically, and that's when little children first get here. And we want to know, that's one of the questions that we have is, do they have an appetite? And we are very concerned if there's a little child that comes into this world and they don't act like they're interested in eating. Now, sometimes their appetite can be a trial on the parents because they want to eat too much, but or at inopportune times, but you know, it's a much better thing to try to get them to sleep longer periods than for them to only want to sleep and not want to eat. And then when it gets, one of the last things that happens in life when people get up into age and their health is declining is many times they lose their appetite. And we go to visit an older person and we start noticing that they're just kind of wasting away. And we start asking questions, how's your appetite? Or what have you been eating? Or have you been eating? And we find out that what they've been eating, we would say it wouldn't keep a little bird alive or something. And so we, as humanity, those are things we just understand. We know that we're generally concerned about people's appetites at the beginning and the end of life because we know when we quit eating and don't have an appetite anymore that life can't follow very long. We also are concerned about maybe when someone has been really sick for a long time and we may ask questions, well, what have you been eating? Have you been taking any nourishment? Are you drinking plenty of fluids? We start asking those questions because we have a concern about an appetite. I'd like to read a scripture. This is kind of the direction we want to go. It's over here in Matthew, the 5th chapter, and it's a scripture that many of us have said as a memory verse at some time or another in our life, especially when we were young. It says in the 6th verse, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, I happen to believe that this verse is very true. And I can testify that every time that I have set time aside, every time that I have cultivated an appetite for the things of the Lord, He's gave me something. He's given me something that whether it's, I'm talking about turning other things aside. And you could get up and go about your day, but instead you took time to read some of the Word. You took time to listen to something that had the opportunity to feed your soul. Every time, it does not fail, every time that I make, and that effort, the Lord gives me something that helps me in life. So I'd like to go back now to just kind of build up to where that scripture is at. And that's going to be the, you might say, the theme or the text that we want to truly try to dig into today. But thinking about little children, we're interested in them having an appetite, period. But then we want to not only an appetite at large, but we want to know what their appetite is for. And we want them to be have an appetite for a variety of things. If they only want to eat applesauce, when they get to the time that they can, if they will not eat some other types of foods, we're concerned about that too. We want them to grow up to be a healthy person. Today, Anita and I know a young man that has some severe health issues, not just like eczema or something, but this man is in his late 20s and has had both hips replaced. Why? Because he only ate a certain brand of peanut butter and crackers for years, and fries. Only French fries from like McDonald's or something. That's all his appetite was for. I don't know what all he missed, but he missed something. It's pretty unusual for a young man that's 26 years old to have had both hips replaced. So he missed something in his diet. And we're concerned about people that won't eat green vegetables and yellow vegetables and red vegetables, and they won't eat meat, or they won't eat something with protein. There's something. What have you been eating? We're concerned about that because we want them to have a well-rounded diet. We want them to be healthy as we possibly can be from our diet. This is just an observation. The things that we have an appetite for will make a way. We'll find a way to satisfy those appetites. I can always eat, it seems like, another bite of pie. It doesn't matter if it's hot pie or cold pie. I've seemed like I've always got room for one more bite of pie. But if you want, it doesn't matter how much you smack your lips when you're around me and eating watermelon or cantaloupe. I'll just tell you, I'd rather have a glass of ice water. I don't like the sticky juice. I don't like the aftertaste it gives me. It may not do that to you, but it gives me an aftertaste. And I don't like the smell of spoiled melons. I don't like the smell of them in the trash can. I don't like the smell of them in the field. That's me. But pie, now, I would go out of my way to have some more pie. Leave it on the counter, put it in the fridge. I don't care. I'll eat pie. More than one of our boys kept a spoon in their bedroom because after mom and dad went to sleep, they could sneak into the deep freeze in the basement and get some ice cream or Cool Whip. I don't know why they would want to eat Cool Whip by itself, but my wife has opened what she thought was an unopened can of Cool Whip and find that there'd been a spoon in there. You know, Brussels sprouts, I don't know what connotation that breaks up in your mind, but that has been an acquired taste for me. I would venture that most of us here, if you like Brussels sprouts today, it's because you learned to like them. Not because when you were a few months old, you just have a ravenous appetite for Brussels sprouts. But I'll tell you, I like Brussels sprouts. I like Brussels sprouts, and especially if they've been grilled. Now that's some good eating as far as I'm concerned. But I learned that. It's not something that was it wasn't like pie. I think I would have liked chocolate pie when I was just a few months old. But Brussels sprouts is different. I've learned to like them, and I enjoy Brussels sprouts. In fact, if I have an option of choosing Brussels sprouts as a side for my a meal at a restaurant, many times I will choose them just because I would have rather have Brussels sprouts than French fries. That's just me, but I'd rather have those. I used to think they were disgusting, and maybe you still think they're disgusting. But I'm going to tell you that I learned to like them, and I really like them. In Psalms, the 34th Psalm and the 8th verse, there's a verse here that says something pretty important to it. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Have you tasted Brussels sprouts? If you're here today and you don't, maybe it hasn't been presented like that, like they taste to me. I don't know. Maybe you've just had boiled Brussels sprouts, and maybe you've never had them grilled. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Oh, taste and see. You might like them if you try them. You might like Brussels sprouts if you tried them grilled. You might like the Lord if you really tasted it. You know, as a minister and as a congregation, we want people that would come in our doors to taste something that would cause them to want to come back and do this again. That's what we want. That's what I want. I think that's what you want. So I'm asking ourselves, how do we present Christianity? How do we present? Is there some value that people can see in our lives, in our character, in our disposition, in the way we talk, in the way we carry ourselves, in our overall level of contentment in life? Are we presenting something that other people get a little taste of and they go away wondering, what is it that helps them to do like that? Do they say, You're a better person than I am? How do you do that? I wouldn't stand there and let somebody talk to me like that. They ever taste that in us? Do they ever taste something where they know that you're not having a very good day, but they see something that you can keep your chin up, so to speak? Do they see you tell the truth when it really doesn't make you look very good? And they wonder, how can they do that? It's so important for all of us to add our seasoning. All right, I want to explain this a little bit. My mother probably fixed Brussels sprouts a time or two when I was growing up, probably because my dad asked for them. He's the type of person that would ask for something unusual. And my guess is that the reason I don't hardly ever remember it is because it didn't go over very well. There was probably more to throw out than had been ate of Brussels sprouts as a boy growing up. But until we get a seasoning that appeals to us, did you know that there can be things about my personality that seasons the gospel that other people, it's hard for them to relate to? But there may be something in Brother David's personality that seasons the gospel that causes, I'm not picking on him, I'm just just using this for an illustration, there may be something about Brother David's personality that seasons the gospel that other person gets a taste of the reality of what it said in Psalms. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Did you know that all of us here have an opportunity? If you have an experience of salvation this morning, you have an opportunity not to twist the gospel to where it's not effective, but you have an opportunity to add your experiences and how the Lord, I'm told you that I like Brussels sprouts this morning. And I'll tell you where I really enjoy Brussels sprouts. If you go to Longhorn Steakhouse and you order Brussels sprouts and tell them to hold that honey glaze and bring you some garlic butter. Now that's some good, I don't want to make y'all too hungry here, but that is some good eating. But don't bring me Brussels sprouts with honey glaze on them, because that don't taste good to me. You see the difference? Your seasoning, your experiences of life may be honey glaze, and mine might be garlic butter, okay? But it's still Brussels sprouts. I have a reason to believe that Brussels sprouts is better for me than French fries. And I believe that the gospel is good for all mankind, and I want to encourage you, when we meet those that come in, I'm going to tell you, I'm not always the one size fits all for every personality. That's why we need others in the congregation that have the ability to share their experience where the people can see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, it said. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. I don't want the things of God, I don't just want the things of God to be palatable or taste good, but I want it to be something that they want for themselves. I'm thankful for every time someone has put up with the things that annoy them about me to get something that would be spiritual food for them. Because I'm sure maybe all of you have some little thing that you have to get over to be able to get something out of what I might say on Sunday morning. I don't know. You haven't told me. Maybe that's a good thing. But I just want us to realize that an appetite for the things of God is a thing we want to cultivate. We want to learn how to get a hold of the things that will really make a change in our hearts and our lives. It said there in Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'm here testifying to you this morning that every time that I have hungered after something from the Lord, and had a consistent hunger element, and taken the time, whether it's taken the time to read the scripture, taken the time to find something like a message on Church of God preaching to listen to. I listen to a lot of them, several during each week while I'm working, because my hearing aids can pipe it into my head while I'm working. It works out pretty good for me. I just want to encourage us to cultivate that hunger, because it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There'll be some strength that comes from that that'll help us in our day-to-day life. Maybe it'll give us something that we build on later in the week. Maybe it meets the need we have at the very moment. But we have to cultivate that appetite. That's what an appetite is. It's a hunger. It's a desire to consume. It's a desire to to taste, to gain nourishment from. And that'll be something that'll give us spiritual strength and stamina. I'd like to turn now to Proverbs 22:6. You might know what that verse says. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I think it's something that we need to be cognizant of how we train our children, not just by what we say, but by the way we live before them. But I want to say this morning that our appetites are things that many times have to be trained. The young man I mentioned earlier that has had some severe, I'm going to say, skeletal problems that I'm not a medical doctor, but my conclusion is it's because of what he ate. All right? The time to train him was about 23 or 4 or 5 years ago. It's not now in that. I don't know, maybe a diet change could help him in the next 25 years, but there's some real deficiencies in his body. The time to train our children to eat their vegetables is way back there when they're little. It's time to introduce. The time, you know, it takes time to train them to eat green beans and to eat broccoli and cauliflower. Maybe you need to put a lot of cheese on it. Maybe you need a lot of cheese on cauliflower to eat it today. maybe you need some garlic butter on something today. But our physical appetites have to be trained. I wouldn't want to be trained to eat something that was contaminated or and that's not the burden this morning. The burden is that we would realize we're all, by the grace of God, or can be, by the grace of God, children of the King, children of God. And Lord, help us to train our appetites. There is a whole generation of spiritual, there's a whole generation of church-going people out there that their appetites for spiritual things has been allowed to only be cultivated in praise and worship. That's a major thing in the church world today. And I'd just like to encourage us to cultivate an appetite for some things that'll give us strength. You know, there's no one here that just naturally is predisposed to give up things that you feel like belongs to you. But you know, there's some real things to learn from sacrifice in the Word. Lord, help us to cultivate an appetite for learning how to sacrifice ourselves, to how to give of ourselves, how to be strong and like a rock in the billows and not deviate and not to change. You know, to be able to gain those strengths, we have to cultivate an appetite. This scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. You know, there's things I learned to eat, naturally speaking, because I saw my dad eat them. I'm talking about foods. There were things that he would eat that my mother didn't like. And I was a little boy and I watched him eat them and he acted like they were good, so I thought I wanted to try. And I did try. And I learned to eat some things that he liked to eat. And one of those things was cheese. My mother didn't like cheese. She didn't like real cheese. She didn't like hypocrite cheese. That stuff made out of soybeans. She didn't like any kind of cheese. My dad liked every cheese. He ate cheese that I won't eat today. But I learned to like cheese. And it's good because my wife likes cheese. And she cooks with cheese. And she makes leftovers taste pretty nice with cheese. But I learned how to eat cheese when I was young. And you know, I learned something else from my dad. I learned that on a personal level, before you go to work, you take time to cultivate an appetite for the things of the Lord. I learned that, you know, he grew up in the age before all the information that we have so accessible to us. I don't know if my dad ever realized there was such a thing as an internet. Passed away before that. But Dad would take a little book sometimes to work. And in his break time, he would read something that would be beneficial to his soul. He didn't read sports. He didn't read about the stock market. He didn't read those other things. He cultivated an appetite for the things of the Lord. I learned that from him too. If you hadn't had that example, I want you to know that I realize it's a steeper hill to climb. But it's something that we ought to train ourselves how to cultivate an appetite. Because the scripture said, it said blessed or happy is who? The man? The person, the woman, the child. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. To be filled with His righteousness is going to be the secret of us being successful and being able to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So my message this morning is about our appetite. What is the appetite? You'll find a way to fill your cravings. You'll find a way to satisfy your appetite. You'll find, whether you have to take a spoon with you and sneak around and get it, or you will find a way to fill your appetites, every one of us. It's so important for us to train our appetites. I don't want to eat that anymore. I don't like the effect of it. I don't like the end result. I see others that have consumed that. I'm going to tell you from the authority of looking on and witnessing this, if you eat Austin peanut butter and crackers and McDonald's French fries for 20 years, you're probably going to have a hip replaced. Okay? Because I've watched that. Maybe it'll be your shoulders. Maybe it'll be your knees. But there'll be something wrong with you in your skeletal system. You will not be healthy. I want to eat something different. I want to learn how to eat. Please understand me. Brussels sprouts is not a miracle food. I'm just telling you that's something I've learned to eat and I like it. I believe when we learn how to consume and ingest the things of the Lord and cultivate an appetite, whether it's reading your Bible, reading a book that's inspirational, maybe it's a story, a biography of someone that has been successful for the Lord. Maybe it's a book that's been written on a doctrine or a teaching of God's people. We have a tremendous resource online, printed books. We got a little library back here in our Sunday school room. There are things that you can take with you and learn how to read it. I'm not talking about learning how to read. I'm talking about learning how to read something specific. Lord, help us to be willing to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'd like to turn to Proverbs and a verse, closing our thought out this morning. Notice Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 10. It's a verse we've used for other thoughts, other times, other places. He says here, the writer of Proverbs says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." You know, it's a sanctified appetite that says no to temptation. It's an unsanctified appetite. It's an unjustified appetite that is thirsting for life's pleasures. Don't we have a song that says, "There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay"? What? Why is that? Because the appetite has changed. I don't have an appetite to try to be more like the world, an appetite that makes me fit in better. Oh, I like to be accepted. I like to be accepted here. I like to be accepted in my workplace. I like to be accepted when I go out and meet new people and all that. I don't want to stand out like a sore thumb. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, there's appetites that people have today that'll land them in jail if they eat of it. And I believe that the Lord can clean us up from that appetite. He can change our appetites. If we will pursue appetite change like we have tried to change, train children. Remember, my appetite has to be trained. I've known people that made meals out of Oreos and a gallon of milk. And they had some health problems too. You know, I like Oreos and I like milk. But honestly, I'm not sure I could eat a whole box or a whole pack, one of those big, you know, packages of Oreos. I don't know if I could eat a whole package of those without feeling kind of bad. Not just feeling bad because I did it, you know, guilty-wise, but actually feeling bad. I think I would feel bad. But there's people that has done it multiple times and not eat anything else. I think you probably ought to eat some Brussels sprouts after you eat a package of those. Something. I want to tell you, we have to train our appetites. I'm not trying to tell you you need to train your physical appetite. That's not my burden. My burden this morning is that we would learn how to train and cultivate our appetite for the things of the Lord so that we can grow thereby, so that we can prosper thereby, so we can be the rock in the billows, so we can say no to temptation. When sinners entice me, I won't consent. I don't want to do that. Right? If we cultivate an appetite for the things of the Lord and sinful appetites are presented to us, sinful things are presented to us, I don't want any of that. I don't have any desire. Why would I do that? What would you think of me if I did what you're suggesting for me to do? Have you ever had that conversation? I can remember those times when I was a young man and learning how to cultivate my appetite, and somebody would say to me, Dan, you ought to loosen up a little bit. You ought to do this and you ought to do that. And I've had the conversation where I asked him, if I did, what would you think about me then? Is that really what you expect me to do? Well, no, we didn't think you'd do that anyway. Well, we have to learn to cultivate our appetites. Lord, help us. Maybe it was more, there were things that were more of a temptation when I was young than it is now, obviously. Lord, help us to cultivate an appetite that'll cause us to grow, to be stronger, to be more capable in rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to know what's the right answer. I want to make it to heaven. I want to get there. I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in. I want to be there. I want to get ushered in. I don't want to be standing there and be nervous and him putting his finger on the book and going down and looking for my name. I don't even know that that's a feasible thing, but I don't want to be holding my breath. I want to be, it'll be a welcome time. And I want you all to have that too. So my challenge for us all this morning is cultivate, train your appetite for the things of the Lord. It's the only way we'll be strong. It's the only way we'll be successful is to have an appetite for the right things. You pray for me.